Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It is game week. It's finally here. College football. Hallelujah. Hail Varsity Radio with you on a Monday. Chris Schmidt, award-winning Colton Stone, is producing. And we have Damon Barr sitting in. I want to say Diamond Barr, California, the home of number 88, Sheldon Jackson. Big time in the Orange Bowl back in 98 against Tennessee. Welcome to it. We are loaded up. We have so much to get to today. We'll hear from Coach Frost. We'll have thoughts on the Maurice Washington situation. Really no answer yet. We'll hear from Coach Frost on that. Our favorite NFL player, Jeremiah Searles, is going to be with us at 425. I need to hear from Searles on Cam Jurgens. It was reiterated that he's your guy at center, and pitch count is going to be a part of this thing. Searles has played guard, center, tackle in the NFL. I need to know what the hell poor Cam Jurgens is in for this football season. We'll talk Nebraska O-line with Searles. We will talk Andrew Luck with Jeremiah Searles, because that's also something we're going to get into here as the bombshell that was. It took your mind off of, well, Florida and Miami are typically fun college football teams to watch. Saturday night was hard just because of how sloppy and inconsistent they were. It was week zero. Give them a mulligan. I get it. But both those teams didn't look that great. We'll see who looks good and who looks horror awful, right, as Shaq would say, in week one. So we'll get into a lot of Nebraska storylines for 2019. Jeremiah Searles coming up. Thoughts on Andrew Luck's retirement. Black shirts were handed out. We will talk with one of the black shirts tomorrow as Cam Taylor got a one-on-one with Cam Taylor today at the press conference. We'll hear from him tomorrow. But Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, all of his players and kids, a lot of local guys handed out black shirts today at practice. It was personalized. It wasn't just hanging in your locker. There was some passion attached from a black shirt to a black shirt today. So we'll hear from Coach McBride at 5:05. And then South Alabama head coach Steve Campbell going to be with us. The Jaguars invade Lincoln on ESPN at 11 o'clock. Greg Smith is recruiting extraordinaire with Hail Varsity. Greg will be with us. Time for you to get in this hour at 466-3776. 466-3776. Toll free at 800-825-5865. Can email Chris at hailvarsity.com. And then give us a follow on Twitter, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio. Colton Stone, two birds, one stone. We kind of talked about this Saturday. Will you see Maurice Washington play? That's kind of the first thing that was asked. Eric Olson, the Associated Press. Here's Coach Frost. We'll talk about it right now. Do you want to see Mo play on Saturday? Do you think he should sit? There are things out of Coach Frost's control with that, but here's Coach Frost. First question out of the gate this afternoon.
We're still trying to determine what's going on with Maurice. I've said this before. We're taking his issues very seriously. We got to wait and try to get more clarity and resolution before the week comes up, and then several people will sit down and try to make the best decision.
Okay. Trying to get more clarity. To me, that is, well, it's in the hands of the attorneys. You've got counsel that's representing Mo. You have counsel that is trying to prosecute Mo. Second question, would the university even let Maurice Washington play? That's the bigger, and it's a nails question, right? I mean, that, okay, so the lawyers are figuring things out. What about university policy? Here's Coach Frost.
Yeah, you know, we're having those discussions. We will continue to have those discussions. I think there's certain things that would lead to us absolutely not letting him play, and certain things that could happen that would lead us to considering it. So that still has to be worked through, and we're trying to gather information to make a good decision for this weekend.
So if there are things that would lead Nebraska to not let him play, that is felony, that is guilty, that is prosecution, that is violation of the law, you are found guilty of that, so you aren't going to be playing football. If things are dropped, or it's pled down, or it's a misdemeanor, those are some windows that are open to allow him to play. Last thought here, Coach Frost, Mitch Sherman had this from The Athletic, our dear friend Mitch. Did you expect this to take this long? I'm paraphrasing the question, but it's fair. Because it's been back and forth. Can you delay this thing possibly till bye week? Can you delay this thing beyond? And I'm just talking, I'm leaving out very important parts of this discussion. What do you think as a Nebraska fan? Do you want him carrying the football? He's innocent till proven guilty? Yes, absolutely. But that's all part of this thing. But just the process of this has taken quite a while.
I'm just coaching a football team. Those things are being worked out by other people that do that for a living. Like I said, we're taking it very seriously and are going to try to do what's right for everybody involved.
So let's get into it. You've got the depth chart that's released. We'll get into that. You have the black shirts situation with who got them and who's still striving to get one. But with Mo Washington, man, listen, watching the limited film we have seen on him, the guy looks cut, the guy looks special, the guy looks difference-making. And in this offense, you need a 1-2 thunder and lightning deal. You just do. You've got the quarterback. You feel like you've got the center. You feel like you've got some guys at wideout that can do some damage. What do you got running the football? Mm-hmm. And what do you got catching the football, Colton? And you got a special baller that came in and put up numbers last year mm-hmm. without much supervision during the summer months and got here late, did his thing, was important. And we're back to what we hit on Saturday. Does Maurice Washington play? Mm-hmm. And if it's up to Scott Frost, if Bill Moose and the president of the university and the powers that be ultimately put that in Scott's hands, I think you see some snaps by Mo. If it's out of Scott's hands, which it is, right, and there's no decision here legally, September 3rd is supposed to be the next date, what do you do? Do you play the guy? Or do you make him sit and wait? And listen, there's some judgment things. There's some decision-making things that Mo's got to get better at, and maybe he has, right? Right. And if he's guilty of these things, then things will be pursued in Santa Clara, right? Mm-hmm. Or the San Francisco area where things are being prosecuted at. And you know what? Law takes precedence over football, over carrying a football, over playing against South Alabama. So somebody needs to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Or you're just going to delay this thing. If you delay this thing and push it back and it's still out there to be addressed during the offseason, you still have a question. And the question is, if it's not resolved legally, if there are still charges pending, can you play the guy? And I don't know. I don't think the university would say, well, if there's charges pending, if we sit him out, are we saying he's guilty? Absolutely not. But what's our university policy? What's Big Ten policy? Policy to me is if there are charges pending on someone and he's done what he needs to do off the field, because he's had to earn some trust to even see time because he was a limited participant in the spring. Mm-hmm. He did enough to stay on the team during the spring. He did enough to stay on the team during the summer. He's done enough during fall camp to stay on the football team. Do you just keep having him around, going to class, being part of the team? Yes is the answer. Yes is the answer until your hand is forced. But as far as playing him in games, I think you absolutely want him, and I think you'll need him from a wins-losses standpoint. But what's the message you want to send? And if the university doesn't feel comfortable about what he's charged with, they'll probably put the kibosh on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be watching. He won't be off the team, but he won't be carrying the football.
Yeah, it's like we kind of talked about on Saturday. It's a weird like fine line between is it 100% necessary that he plays? I mean, when it, in theory of game one, no, probably not. Like if he didn't take snaps against South Alabama because of this, like it's not more than likely going to change the outcome of the game.
No,
but
next Saturday,
but the following week, that's where you know that's where you kind of are on the fence. Where like are you going to be able to play him? And you're right. Like what message does it send if nothing gets resolved, it gets pushed back to the offseason because it keeps getting pushed back anyways. But if he's done enough off the field and enough growth off the field that he has kind of earned his way back onto the team, and I know, you know, there's kind of the added luxury of, you know, if you have to redshirt him to figure this out, you can.
Sure.
But if he's done enough off the field to grow as a person and has done the necessary things to earn the trust of his coaches, I mean, he can only do so much until the lawyers figure it out. So I don't know if it's more of a what does the university want to say, or
it's absolutely what's the university want to say on this. If the lawyers haven't decided, it is a what's the president and athletic director and head coach say, and they'll all powwow on this, and it's not solely Scott Frost's decision, other than Scott Frost, bless his heart, has been down there to ride for Mo. And he has kept Scott's kept his promise to the folks that are Mo's family and said, listen, this kid's gonna come here, he's gonna get an education, we're gonna be a really damn good football team eventually with him as a part of it. But Mo's gonna be a better Mo 4 years, 5 years from now in society. And that's what Mo is needed. Is someone in his corner to make him accountable for life. And that's what we all need. I'm not just pointing the finger and saying, well, Mo needs supervision. Dude, we all needed supervision. Remember the first week of moving down into the dorms or moving down onto campus in your fraternity? What type of insane man were you? Mm-hmm. Were we? I mean, it was bedlam, my friend, away from home for the first time. It was glorious. And very horrible at the same time. So Frost has been there, and he's there to do what's best for Mo as a person, not necessarily as a ball carrier or pass catcher.
Well, and the decision, like you said, it'll be the president, it'll be Moose, it'll be Frost, but it'll be a mutual decision. It won't be like two of them are saying no, he can't play, and Frost is like, no, he has to play. Like they'll figure out what they need to do and how they need to approach it. I think, I mean, he keeps saying it that it's in the hands of other people, and I can only do as much as they say I can do.
Sure, so. And that's fair. I mean, it's out of Frost's hands. But I applaud him for sticking with his guy. You're supposed to do that.
Yep.
Not every coach does do that or will do that. So if nothing's decided here this week, do you see him? Maybe. I'm kind of leaning more towards no.
Yeah.
But if you don't see him this week and things are pushed back and he's eligible, maybe you see him against Colorado. Now, the backlash is going to be horrific nationally, and do you want that type of distraction? Do you want that type of question and answer and subplot to an already insanely hyped game that is going to be Colorado and part of the first rendition of the revenge tour for Nebraska? You factor in Mo to that on top of the whole magnitude of going to Boulder, Colorado, the Adrian backdrop, all of that stuff, you know?
Well, yeah, it becomes, well, are they just playing him because they need to win this game?
Well, yeah, you
but that's anybody you play too.
Sure.
You know?
Well, and you can count, I don't know if you'll come out and just say it, but if he doesn't play, why isn't he playing? Is it coach's decision? Is it university decision? Is it part of a suspension? Is that part of the punishment? Is it answering some of the decisions that weren't great, alleged decisions that weren't great? and you miss the first game as part of punishment. You've got guys suspended for the opener all the time. Mm-hmm. And does this fall under suspension?
It'd probably be more of coach, like you said, coach's decision, like a did not play because mm-hmm. of coach or university decision. I don't know if it'd be so much a – I don't think they'd label it a suspension, but unless they do within their own closed doors.
So we'll see if Mo goes. We still don't know. More on the black shirts from Coach Frost. And this was really cool. We'll talk to Charlie McBride about this. Do we have time? I think we have time. Coach Frost here on what happened with the black shirts today.
This was kind of a spur of the moment thing, but you know, we didn't just want to have the black shirts show up in guys' lockers. We wanted it to kind of mean more than that. So we got on the phone and got some of the black shirts that are in the vicinity to come to practice today. They kind of took turns one by one coming up in front of the team and telling us what they thought it meant to be a black shirt and what a black shirt stood for. And then they presented the black shirts to the guys. Some of them are my teammates, some of them are my good friends. They did an unbelievable job. The Kelsey brothers were here, Jason Peters, Steve Warren, Barrett Rood, Mark Munford, Kenny Wilhite, Tony Velan, Keo Craver, Zach Bowman, some great Huskers and great black shirts, and their message to the team was spot on. So it was a inspiring and neat scene after practice to see that happen.
Jeremiah Searles up next on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Well, it's our favorite NFL Husker. We say hi to Jeremiah Searles with us on Hail Varsity Radio. At Searles71 underscore HSKR is where you follow him. Searles, what are you doing?
I'm just hanging out up in Minnesota. Made the drive up from Lincoln yesterday, and we're just hanging out up here and getting right. How about you? How you guys doing down there?
It's good, man. It's game week. It is game week finally. Woo! It was press conference Monday, and it's awesome. It's great.
I heard we had some breaking news.
Well, you have black shirts that have been handed out.
Yeah, black shirts, and then also Adrian Martinez named starting quarterback. I know there was a big controversy there of who was going to be the starter.
Well, I didn't break that news, but yeah, Adrian's starting yet again for Nebraska football. I want to get into, we'll need more time on the Nebraska O-line stuff and Juergens and what he's about to try and do for Coach Austin at center in just 2 seconds. But I want to start with the NFL, and you're in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You've played against Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck's sudden retirement news broke Saturday night. It took my mind off of what Florida or Miami player was going to turn the football over next because of what was happening crawl-wise on the bottom of ESPN. And the guy got absolutely butchered by his home crowd walking off the field. And he isn't right. The last thing I think of when I think of Andrew Luck is a quitter. I think of the guy as a dude who's been tough as nails, who's smarter than most people with the Stanford side of him, and a hell of a quarterback I loved watching play. My heart immediately said, well, dude, at least thank you for sticking this out for 8 years. That's where I went with it. I didn't go venom like a lot of folks in the media did. I said, hey, thanks for the good 8 years, Andrew. Good luck and God bless. You've had to rehab in your career. You and friends of yours in the NFL have had to rehab. Can you put into words what it's like first? And second of all, your take on Andrew's decision.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going through it right now.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's a grind. I mean, you want to be out there. You want to be playing. You want to be part of your team. But, I mean, if you just look at what Andrew looked like in that press conference, like, he looked defeated. And you cannot go into a 16-game season with already being defeated. And the way I say defeated, I don't mean it as like, oh, man, poor me. I mean, he just looked tired. And I can attest to it. If you wake up every single day, which he says for the last 4 years, he's woken up in pain every single day, that is just going to mentally wear you down over and over. And that dude is one of the toughest individuals. And he played with a lacerated kidney and was pissing blood, mm-hmm. and yet still went out there and played for those guys. And you got to remember, too, and what people aren't talking about, he was one of the most sacked and hit quarterbacks in the NFL for like 3 years.
52 sacks last year.
Yes. I mean, he was just abused by forever. And everyone's like, oh, he's just a big guy. He can take it. But I think all that kind of caught up to him. And for me, it's the everyday grind of I only had to miss one offseason because of a surgery. I had knee surgery in the NFL, and I also had a shoulder surgery. And when you lose those off seasons of the decompress time, which is so important, when you get done with season, you have to decompress from the season because it's such a grind. Like, you have to escape, go home, get away from it. But when you're hurt like that, you just have to stay and rehab and go into the facility and do the same thing day after day after day. And you don't ever really feel like season ends. And he's done that for 4 years. So I 100% applaud him for having the courage to say, you know what, I can't give my team everything that they have right now. I mean, he easily could have been like, you know what, I'm going to go on IR, collect my check, and just be done with it. Mm-hmm. But he said, I'm going to give my team and tell them I don't think it's right, I don't feel right, and move on. And I applaud him for that. I think that that was a great move by him, because at the end of the day, football is a game, and he's a young man. He's 29 years old. Young man. Got a ton of life ahead of him, and he just doesn't want to live like this anymore. So I hate that people are killing him for it, and I don't agree with it at all. And it's just really, really sad for me to see that.
It's a quality of life thing that he made a decision about when he was 29. It's also a commitment thing. Some folks are blasting his lack of commitment. I think he's giving plenty of commitment, saying, dude, I've practiced three times since March. My leg is jacked. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be worth a damn. And if I'm not worth a damn, you're going to cut me anyway, right? So
right.
So for him to just say, look, this is where I'm at with it. Here's the why. And let's do an impromptu press conference. And by the way, let me get booed off the field. He did it the right way. He's been up front with the organization. He has done everything in his power to make the Colts better. He followed Peyton Manning. He didn't have an Edgerrin James or a starving Marvin to throw to. I mean, it's taken Indy a while to build up, and he still had him in the playoffs four straight years after Peyton left. So he's been incredible in my book, and he's been pretty transparent with his decision-making. The other part of that, before we get to Nebraska O-line, Searles, there's a moment in your career that you need to be able to train to be better versus rehab to stay the same. And that's a big difference, isn't it? When you're spending your off season rehabbing versus training to perfect your game. There's not enough time in an off season to do both if you're trying to rehab versus you're healthy come off season to train to get better at your position.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole point of off season is to get bigger, faster, stronger. And I mean, even at year six, I felt like I went into this off season my fastest and stronger than I've been. And when you lose that for one off season, it's like, dang, man, I could really tell the difference that I didn't have what I needed to. You lose that for four, I mean, you're going to start really seeing the detrimental effects. You're going to start seeing other stuff pop up because his foot's not right. So I guarantee you his other ankle, his other hip, and his other back, like his other side of his back, mm-hmm. are all jacked up because he's compensating and so on and so forth, that it's just accumulating effect. And I think it finally just reached a boiling point where he's just like, I can't do this. And I'd be lying to you if I told you after the 2017 season in Minnesota, I had a really bad knee. That was a chronic injury all year, was swelling on me, having some issues. And there was part of it that's like, I don't know if I can do this again. And I got rehab and I got it back and I got it the right way. But that in your mind of the day after day toll that you take on your body when you have a chronic injury is something that not a lot of people that don't play a professional sport or play college or had a serious injury can really appreciate. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to reset you. Jeremiah Searles with us. No, back to the appreciation part. We can't. We watch you guys perform, but we can't appreciate it. Most of us haven't gone through the rehab side.
And that's the thing that killed me when like all the tweets were like, oh my gosh, he's giving up, or like, I saw one that was like, I have family that works in steel and police, and like they don't say it's too hard. And they're apples and oranges. Each have their own mental strains. Each have their own physical tolls. But, I mean, we're modern-day gladiators. That's the way I can describe people. People show up, and they get in the stadium, and they watch two teams literally fight, and the only difference is at the end, Caesar doesn't go thumbs up, thumbs down. I mean, that's really the all it is at the end of the day. And for people to compare it to, oh, well, I work really hard, it's like, I bet you do work really hard. I bet you give everything you got, but you just don't understand the physical toll that this game has on you year after year after year.
It's a car wreck every time, every game. It's a 35-mile-per-hour.
Over and over and over again.
Searles, I got 3.5 minutes. Rapid fire here. Juergens at center. What do you think?
I'm pumped about it. I've been around the stadium, and I've heard Coach Austin and Coach Frost both rave about this guy. I haven't got to see him a little bit in practice. But he really hasn't practiced a ton when I was there. But I'm excited to see what he can do, because I think that if they can solidify that spot on the line, that'll really help.
Well, you've played it. You've had to switch to it. You play all three spots. When someone says you're a game changer at center, they're talking about that rare combination of toughness and athleticism. And if he can stay healthy, even on a pitch count, that should be a monster jump for Nebraska's interior, correct?
Correct. And don't forget about the other intangible at center is your smarts. If you can have a center that's getting everyone lined up, making the right direction, making the right call, A, that takes it off Adrian, almost called him Taylor, takes it off Adrian and allows them to be able to play a little faster.
I know.
Yeah. Hey, come on, guys.
Searles is with us. Real quick here on Nebraska and Maurice Washington. Things are still kind of in limbo with his participation out of Coach Frost's hands. I don't know if we see Mo on Saturday or not. I don't know where they are in the legal process. I don't know if they get things cleaned up. I mean, the next date is September 3rd, okay, for Maurice. So if it stays September 3rd, do you think we see him on Saturday?
I don't see why you would. I think that you might as well. I mean, why wouldn't you play him? I understand he's got some stuff going on, but as long as the universities will allow him to play, I don't understand why that there's – I mean, it's innocent until proven guilty. Like, that's still how it is. And if something comes down from the top of, hey, we can't do this anymore, okay. But as long as the head man up top, whoever that is, whoever they deem that to be, probably Mr. Moose would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
If they say, hey, you know what, we're good with it, then I think as a coach I'd be good with it too. And they obviously have way more information than we do.
They do. Jeremiah Searles with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Searles, what's going to be happening here post-games, brother? I got about a minute.
Yeah, so I think that we're going to end up doing a show on my Twitch channel. It's all kind of coming out to fruition here in the next few weeks, or next few days, excuse me. But we're talking with getting everything settled, and I'm excited about it. And we're going to launch officially on Wednesday, so stay in tune. Stay up to date on the Hail Varsity website. Stay up to date on my Twitter feed and my Instagram. And we got some exciting stuff coming up. So keep up with it, and it's going to be really a lot of fun.
Okay, 30 more seconds. How are you feeling? How is your rehab going?
It's going really good. I'm out of the boot. Swelling's down. Scar's getting better. Getting the strength up. Getting to start plyometrics tomorrow. And everything seems to be nice on track and rolling. So it seems that we're going to be right on time in October to assign to someone and kick some up.
Good work. There's Jeremiah Searles, Husker standout, longtime NFLer, getting that rehab done. His thoughts on Andrew Luck, his thoughts on Cam Juergens, on Mo Washington. Searles, you're awesome, brother. Thanks for jumping on. It was great to connect with you and get your thoughts. We'll talk here real soon, bud. Take care.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
See you, man. There he is, Jeremiah Searles with us. Hail Varsity Radio and Searles71_HSKR. We're 20 minutes away from Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt, head coach of them Jaguars from South Alabama. Steve Campbell coming up. Greg Smith, recruiting aficionado, on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
More thoughts on Nebraska and South Alabama from the head man from South Alabama. Steve Campbell is coming up. We'll talk to the head Jag. Don't forget Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride's 20 minutes away. Greg Smith coming up. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. We'll veer away from a little Nebraska talk to some Andrew Luck discussion. And I know you've had time to let it marinate, talk it over, think it over, scream and shout because you drafted him in fantasy, scream and shout because maybe you think he quit, or scream and shout at those who did this as he walked off the field. That is the visual definition of underappreciation. Andrew, you're 29. Andrew, you're from Stanford. Andrew, you have $140 million in the bank. But Andrew, you're not going to quarterback for us. We have Jacoby Brissett now, who's 4-11 as a starter. What the hell are you doing to us, Andrew? I don't care if you can't hold your kid when you're 37. I don't care if you get lost driving home from practice. I don't care if you can't feel your knees. Take a snap, Andrew. All those jackasses that were booing him, that's what's going through their mind. And I'm going to be judgmental, and I'm going to point the finger at that fan. And yes, I'm going to tell you how to be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the the exact opposite of what you heard and saw in Indy on Saturday night if you're a Nebraska fan. Not all Indy fans are scumbags. Most of them are not. Yep. Not all Nebraska fans are great, but most are, okay?
Yep.
And Nebraska is known for what they do, right? So you had, Searles was talking apples and oranges. You've got apples and oranges when it comes to football and crowds between Memorial Stadium and they don't call it the RCA Dome anymore, but that's what comes to my mind. Listen, let's get into Andrew Luck here. Andrew Luck had a phenomenal career. Andrew Luck had his team knocking on the door of a Super Bowl early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts pissing blood because of a lacerated kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has to have shoulder surgery. I mean, it's the same injury that Adrian Martinez had. I mean, it's a labrum.
Yeah.
And it's a labrum in your throwing arm. And to come back and get back to the playoffs and win comeback player of the year, you've put the work in. And this guy can't chew the leather anymore in his own mind. His standards are so incredibly high that he is not going to settle for anything half-assed. And if he's going to go out there and he's not 100%, he's not giving his team the best chance to win, I need to retire. That's where he's coming from. It's not boo-hoo, I'm a millennial and rehab's too hard. He is the anti-millennial.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I mean, the guy's a guy who's got a flip phone, the kid's a Stanford degree.
Yeah.
The guy is so well-read and so smart book-wise and common sense-wise that he just finally said, enough's enough. It is impressive when somebody knows when to say when. Too many times that's not the case. Pick something, not just football. And guys are more conscious. And the proof that he needed to step away was the exact reaction he got from 10, maybe 100, maybe 1,000 Colts fans that booed him or the other scumbags who lit his jersey on fire on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see him go. That's selfish. I loved watching him play ball. I liked the play action. I liked the tight ends they used. I liked the red zone grit he always showed. Man, he was a fun quarterback. Think about the quarterbacks you like watching. Yes, you love Mahomes. Yes, maybe you love or maybe you hate Brady, but you'll watch.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ben, he's giant, but he's effective, right? Who else do you love watching? I don't know. Give me a name. Point is he's in that group. He's a guy I would drive to a bar. Schmidt, you're a boozer anyway. He's a guy I drive to the bar.
You're at the bar anyway.
I'm at the bar anyway, but I'm watching Indy. Can you put Andrew Luck on the big screen? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm a cheap bastard and I don't want to pay for the Sunday ticket. Okay? Right? So I'm right there. I have no problem with what he did. Am I 1,000% blindsided? Yes. But he laid out his reasons. I accept his reasons. I have no problem with his reasons. The only thing I'm sad about is we won't get to see Andrew Luck play ball again in the short term. Does he come back? I don't know. Maybe he just needs he rehabbed in the Netherlands, okay? He's only practiced 3 times since March. I have no worries whatsoever that Andrew Luck's making the best decision. No problem at all. And you can always wonder the what could have been. Right? That's where I'm at with it. Let's go to the phones real quick. Brian, thanks for jumping on with Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
Happy game week, fellas.
Dude, it's about time. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. I've been waiting for this moment for a long time.
Amen.
Anyway, back to what you guys were talking about, quarterbacks you like to watch.
Yeah.
I'm a Broncos fan. I absolutely hate watching Mahomes.
Well, as a Bronco fan, hopefully you've loaded up with Estes Park Brewery Sixers and edibles, my friend, because Mahomes ain't going away against your donks.
I'm CDL. I can't do any of the fun stuff.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you don't like watching Mahomes, but if he was wearing orange and blue, you'd change your tune.
You know, I didn't like Peyton Manning, and then he went to the Broncos, and now I love Peyton Manning.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Yeah. I still hate Brady, by the way.
I'm sure you do. Your record against him is pretty solid, though. I'll say that.
Okay. Why you got to be a Debbie Downer, man? This is game week.
I'm saying Denver's record against Brady's decent. It's better than most. He doesn't win in Denver.
Yeah. Oh, he hates Denver. He's like, 3-9 or something like that?
Yeah, it's not good.
Anyway, we'll see you guys later.
Take care. Yep. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Well done by Brian. We said quarterbacks you like watching. We said Mahomes, and immediately he, like all Denver fans across the nation, they freeze.
Here's my take on the Andrew Luck thing. I'm not upset. I was at work, and I just like saw it on the ticker. It's like, hey, Andrew Luck's retired. Like, it didn't really it shocked me.
He seemed like a smart enough guy that he would step away early, right?
Yeah. I think, too, and this is a positive thing. This is by no means a negative thing. There is a culture now in the NFL, in college, and even high school that if it's too much for your body, for your mind, physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever, there is a culture surrounding the game of football now that if you have to step away early, there will be people that will support you stepping away early because it wears you down. I mean, guys are like retiring from football in college.
Look at Gronk.
Yeah.
He's 29.
Yeah, I never thought you've got Calvin Johnson stepped away early. That's, maybe because he played in Detroit, but still, like the injury thing, too.
That was vicinity. That wasn't injury.
They wouldn't get rid of him. So, but I think it's getting to a point where people are smart enough to know when enough is enough.
There are long term versus short term. And while I hate quitting and transferring if you don't get your way, if you have 7 surgeries in 5 years, you have every right to retire. Coach McBride's on the way with Hail Varsity.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, it's Hail Varsity Radio. It is game week. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. And we are excited. Charlie McBride is coming up in 10 minutes. Head coach of South Alabama, Steve Campbell. And Greg Smith recruiting. Nebraska knocking it out of the park again for another talented back. Coach Ryan Held, man, is just all over it. Reminder to buckle up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags usually aren't enough. The seatbelt or the windshield, your choice. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury. When your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry, that applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it, or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety office. Okay, watching Florida and Miami, it was awesome. It was great to see college football back. Love Florida's defensive line, 11 sacks. Liked Miami's tight end. Really liked Miami's freshman quarterback. I don't think he was brutal. They didn't do enough. And the thing that wore me out about Miami was it was just typical Miami, too much fluff. I mean, you had the talking, you had the showboat, and you had I mean, it was dialed back from late 80s, early 90s, vintage Miami. But between the stupid turnover chain that the camera had to get, or whatever the rings were they brass knuckles that said Miami Canes?
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to read them, too.
Brass knuckles are technically illegal, even in South Florida or Central Florida. But the point is it's flash and look at me BS. Mm-hmm. Great, you had another turnover. Florida turned the ball over so many times, you should have scored 20 points. Florida should have won that thing by 21 points, and Miami should have won that thing by 21 points.
Yeah.
Based on the mistakes. I think Florida's quarterback, my God, is he bad.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't put my trust in Felipe Franks. That's all
Franks
I'm saying.
Franks is supposed to be better. He's a junior. He's out jawing with the crowd and trying to get the crowd hyped, and he's throwing bad picks again when all you got to do is hand the damn thing off, have your defense bail you out, and then personal foul penalties draw you back. I mean, Miami picks the ball off, runs it back to the 40. There's two flags, and they're back on their own 40. Almost.
Well, yeah.
Franks is awful. How they won 10 games last year is insane with him. And how they are a top eight team with him, maybe he'll get better in week two. I don't know. But I've seen enough of him where unless they're running him 20 times with a little Tebow playbook style, I am not letting that kid throw the ball more than 15 times. Knee-jerk stupidity on my part, apparently, but that guy's weak. It's awful.
Yeah,
he's not mature.
I just wish that the Hawaii game would have been on TV. That way we could watch Cole McDonald throw four touchdowns and four picks in one half.
Well, but how about Khalil?
Oh.
That dude was sick, and he just got stopped shy of overtime where he throws for four bills and runs for another $130. He's still good. And someone still can't win with a great quarterback. Coach McBride's up next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's game week. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie. We say hi to the coach, Charlie McBride. Coach, how you feeling? It's finally here. It is week one, and we can talk about a team. How you doing?
Well, that's good. It gets a little exciting, doesn't it?
You know, it does.
After a year, or we're not quite a year, I guess. I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking about it, you know. With the new coaching staff and everything, and some new players, and pretty exciting.
It is exciting, and I want to start off with something that was new today, and that was how Scott Frost had the black shirts handed out, and you got a number of kids that earned it, but instead of walking into the locker room and having the jersey there, Coach Frost personalized it and had black shirts that are around the area of Lincoln speak to the kids what it means to be a black shirt, and then they handed a black shirt to a kid that corresponded with a position. What do you think of that?
Well, that's great. I think that's a good way to do it. You know, it's so hard to get to that point, and you know, all I can think about is when, you know, being a black shirt, I think the thing that was exciting about it is before games, I would go over and see some kids on the sideline, you know, some young kids, and they all wanted to be black shirts. I mean, you know, it got that far down in the state. You knew it meant something, and I think that's what a lot of players still don't really realize, that there's kids all over the state that, you know, that's their dream, is to be a black shirt, things like that. And but bringing guys back who had that dream and who did it, you know, is pretty good, I think.
Well, just to kind of run it down, you had some guys that played for you. Jason Peter, one of your favorites, of course, Steve Warren. You had Chad Kelce and Chris Kelce. Keo Craver played corner for you, and Tony Veland, big-time safety, of course. And Jay Foreman. Jay Foreman let him know that in his will that he's going to be buried with his black shirt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow's right. I ran into Jay this summer watching baseball, and it's nothing I ask him, you know, and that comes out.
Yeah. Well, there's a good example of what that meant to him. You know, I mean, it's something special, and I recognized it a little bit when I started, you know, took over the defense, because I didn't think they were getting their, you know, their due a little mm-hmm. bit. And so I think we kind of pumped it up a little bit, and they got some, you know, some people selling things, black shirts and hats. And, you know, we had, I know one time we had handkerchiefs that were, they were waving, and the fans were waving. And so it got, you know, it got to be a little more known as to what it really was. And, that made me feel good.
Well, and now you got Coach Frost wanting to, down the road, do an alternate road option to reward the defense. If the defense plays well enough, he wants to have the option where they wear a black shirt on the road as a reward. What do you think of that?
Well, that's good. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's one thing, you know, that everybody in reality, all of those special things, but in reality, when we used to look at it this way, if we played well, there usually was something in the paper that said black shirts do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you know, they're not all black shirts that are really playing. So my feeling was that the whole thing is, if you're on the defensive team, you are a black shirt.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you don't have the jersey, but you're one of those guys that they said in the paper, because you were a second teamer or even a third, that you played and you didn't have a black shirt at practice or whatever it was, but you won and you played well. You know, do you say they're not black shirts? You know, and it kind of got to me a little bit that we're just zeroing in on maybe 11, 12, 15 guys. And really, it's everybody. It's all of them put together.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, I want to flip over to the offensive side of the ball, and the decision's been made because of the talent, where game changer is the term used by Coach Frost, and it's a different looking offense when Cam Jurgens is in there. You've heard of the young man from Beatrice, and they switched him from tight end to center, and he's your number one center. And you know centers. Mike Webster was your guy at Wisconsin. What is a fair bar expectation for a guy like Jurgens that's so young, but he's so athletic and tough that Nebraska really likes what he can potentially do if he can stay healthy? What's a good outlook for him?
Well, I guess I'm old enough I can say it. That kid's, if he plays like I think he can, and in his past background, and when he committed, how important Nebraska was to him, I would say that he's going to end up being one of the Nebraska All-Americans.
Wow. That much potential talent.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question. He's the kind of kid that's a winner. He'll give you everything he's got all the time. And I think the switch to that position probably was as good as there is. And, you know, someday you may see him playing in the NFL, which if he can stay healthy, he will be.
Well, that's fair. You don't usually go there on somebody unless you really think
right.
It's appropriate.
I don't know that, mm-hmm. you know, and since I've been gone, I have to do it from, kind of being far away.
Sure.
But there's certain feelings and certain things and certain stuff you see in kids over the years. Now, I knew about him when he was a sophomore. So, they were talking about him, you know, then, and he was talking about coming to Nebraska and at that point. Well, those things build up, and that probably caused him to work a little harder and do some things better, and probably made him, a better player. And he's still got a long way to go, but he's a masher. I mean, he's one of those guys that when the ball snaps, he's going to play till you better blow two whistles, probably. and those are the kind of guys that are great leaders. And I know when I had Mike Webster. I said to Mike, you're the captain of this offensive line. And he was a sophomore. He looked at me like, I am, And I said, yep, the center, I don't care who the center is, he's the guy, he's a leader. And the next time I see you walk up to the line of scrimmage, you're going to be at the back of the line. And he never stopped running through his whole pro career. When they left the line, the play was called, Mike would turn around and sprint to the line of scrimmage. And he did it from that day on. And, it's kind of a thing that caught wind in there. These other guys are going, slow down. And he didn't slow down. And, he did it when he was in the NFL and things like that. I mean, that was kind of a trademark of his.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, let's spend some time on Saturday. South Alabama comes to town. Don't know a ton. We're going to talk to Coach Campbell next from South Alabama. But he's won at the Division II level. He won a lot of ball games in the JUCO ranks. Moved his way up from a school in Arkansas, I think Central Arkansas. And now he's going into year two down there in Mobile in South Alabama. And, Nebraska is not – played well the last two times they've taken on Sun Belt teams or Northern Illinois, right? I mean, they just haven't. This is a different Nebraska. This is a second year Nebraska. What can you expect to see defensively on Saturday, where there's going to be some athletes in space? That's what South Alabama will likely probably try and do. Mm-hmm. What's a good day Saturday for those black shirts?
Well, I can't tell you the score or give you any.
That's fine. That's fine.
Points or anything, but I think that, just with their attitude and with what has happened in the past, and I'm sure that somebody has whispered in their ears to that this is, don't just roll your hat on the field, because these guys are they're the real people. I mean, they're not, they can be, who knows how much, maybe the best player they've ever played against, all of them. And, so that's kind of what you see is a lot of these kids, are transferred in and did different things and, were great players and maybe didn't make it at another school for a reason, but are, really good players. And so you got to be careful what you're doing. But I think the thing is what I like to see is not as much in the first early games, not as much as how many yards they gained, but how many times they got in the end zone.
Sure.
Because a lot of times teams can get yards, but they can't score, And I think that's really an important thing right there, that, they're not getting in the end zone. And they don't know what they do offensively and defensively with a new coach, so they got to make some adjustments quick. And a lot of times they're at the advantage. And, we talked about the offense being a behind the defense and so on and so forth. Well, here's an example where they're going to face an offense that they've never seen before. I mean, they don't even know what's going to happen. And that's tough duty. I'll tell you that. That's the hardest thing for a coach, is to prepare for something you don't know.
Well, it's game one, and you got a new quarterback. You got a new setup, and you can watch last year's film, but that's last year's film, So.
Right.
Could be completely different. Coach, got a couple of minutes. Darian Daniels, he's the graduate transfer that's playing nose for Nebraska, and he got voted captain. What's that mean to you to have a guy who came in, as a graduate transfer get voted on by his teammates to be one of the four captains.
That's special. I mean, you know, like I said, I don't know the kid. I know his brother's playing on the team, and I think that meant a lot to him. I think when he came, he was – people like that are usually natural leaders. I mean, that fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a guy can step up that fast and get that kind of respect from the players, I think that that's really a big plus. And that's going to help our defense overall, because I think, you know, you get a guy like that who's been in the fire, you know, before, and he's really been in it, and you know, can really – What he says, they can listen to and they can believe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm sure he's been in some games, and he's probably sitting there just like I am, saying, hey, I hope our guys don't get overconfident because they don't know anything about this team, and it's not Little Sisters of the Poor, you know. And, you know, it's going to be a tough game, and the adjustments that they make are going to be really important. But the idea of it is, how hard are you going to play? And that's a big key, because you can play hard and even make a fundamental mistake and still make the tackle.
Sure.
I mean, or you know, as long as you just keep trucking and, you know, keep going no matter what happens. And I think defensively, that's what they really have to understand, because a lot of times they don't think, well, I don't know if I can get over there to make the tackle, or I don't know if I can knock this ball down. Yes, you can. You know, I mean, do it. And you know, a lot of times it brings confidence. So they do it during games. They may have never done something in a game they've never done in practice. And, boy, does that bring confidence to you. So those are the kind of things you hope happens in a game like this.
Well, it's a good start. Weather should be okay. And Coach, we'll talk next Monday. Hold on a minute. We'll talk next Tuesday, or okay, figure out something.
That's
because
right.
Monday's a holiday.
Yeah, Tomich is bringing his whole family over here, so you know he'll probably have something to say. But I hope it's good, because if it isn't good, I'm getting out of the room.
I don't blame you. We'll talk next Tuesday as we get ready for them. Them Colorado Buffaloes. So,
okay,
Coach, we look forward to it. We appreciate you.
Looking forward to it. Okay. Thanks a lot for having me.
Take care, Coach.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. He's fired up, man. He's in such a good spot. Loves the fact the season's here. That's pretty big time. We will hear from Coach Campbell of South Alabama coming up in about 5 minutes. A reminder about your friends at West Blue Realty. Are you moving in 2019? I moved during the football season a few years back. No, thank you. But I didn't use West Blue. I should have used West Blue. They specialize in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding areas. They'll make this move a smooth one. When you mention Hail Varsity to West Blue, they'll provide you up to $1,000 on the closing of your next home purchase. Tom Luby, give Tom a ring at 402-540-3768. Kelly Hoffschneider at 402-202-2312. And it pays to work with West Blue, westbluerealty.com, 1120 K Street, Suite 200.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big thanks to Coach Charlie McBride for joining us. Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie. We welcome in the head coach of South Alabama, Steve Campbell, with us. Coach, thanks for a few minutes today with Hail Varsity. How are you?
Oh, doing great, doing great. Looking forward to the big game on Saturday. How are you doing?
We're doing well, and excited football season's here, Coach. And I want to kind of dive in and get some education from you on your team. And let's start out with Cephas Johnson winning the quarterback battle. What are folks in Lincoln going to see with Cephas behind center?
Yeah, you know, Cephas is a big physical quarterback. He can make all the throws, and he's a guy that can run and pass. He's a guy he has been through two springs with us now and two fall camps. A year ago, you know, he was learning the offense and got some playing time, played, you know, a handful of snaps last year. And, you know, now's a year better, but he's a big, you know, he's a 6'4", 6'5", 220-pound quarterback that can run and throw. And, you know, we need to be good enough on the line of scrimmage to give him a chance to do what he can do.
You know, line of scrimmage is so key, and that's been an area Nebraska's been trying to improve on both sides of the ball. And,
right.
And Coach, you're in your second year now at South Alabama, and, you know, when you took over the program, you have a vision, you have an idea. Kind of tell me what you wanted, what you are working on, but you wanted to do when you took over, and how's that journey been as you start year two?
You know, we're a lot closer to where we want to be than where we were a year ago, of course. And, you know, I like being a physical football team. I mean, I believe everything starts with you got to be able to run the football and stop the run, all of that. But I know that in today's game, where we're at today, it's all about yards per play, and you got to be able to throw the football. But you know, I'm a big believer in you can throw it all you want to, but you got to run to win, and you got to stop the run to win. Where, you know, we did not get to that point last year, of course, but we got better and made improvement with each week as we went by. And I thought towards the end of the year we were playing much better. We won the last game of the year against Coastal Carolina. The game before that, we took a team that played in our conference championship down to the wire in the fourth quarter, the University of Louisiana Lafayette. So we played better as the season went on and got a more physical mentality. Now, we've got a good little handful of those offensive linemen back. I think we'll be better and deeper on the defensive line. Because that's where these college football games are won. You need great skill guys, but you've got to give them a chance to do what they do, and that starts up front on both sides.
Talking with South Alabama head coach Steve Campbell with his Hail Varsity Radio, are you a guy that, when it comes to recruiting, that gets a tough guy in, or are you making a kid tough?
I like – there's a little bit of both, but I'm not – we won't recruit a kid if he's soft. You know, because more than anything else, that's the number one trait we look for is toughness. You know, I've been doing this for a lot of years now, and I've had good players that weren't quite as fast, but they're tough. I've had guys that weren't quite as big, but they're tough. I've had guys that want it, but they're tough. Very rarely do you have a guy that wins the big game. And if you want to win the big game, I'm talking about at the end of the year, the game that you need to win, it comes down to who's the toughest. It always does. I've had fast teams and come up short. I've had big teams and come up short. But when we've been able to win the national championships or things of that nature, you got a whole bunch of tough guys. And then, a lot of them wind up being big and fast and things of that nature. But never do you win with softness.
Coach, you've won championships. You won the Division II title in 2000. You won the JUCO National Championship in 07. So got a lot of success. You've got a great head coaching record, and you've been able to progress up. You make the jump from University of Central Arkansas and out of the Sun Belt. And, you know, Nebraska has seen some Sun Belt teams, but each time that a Sun Belt squad comes in here, and I know South Alabama came in, I think, 4 years ago before you got there, but, I mean, the level of football across the country, the Sun Belt, the Big Ten, what, you know, pick a conference, man, kids are bigger, faster, stronger everywhere.
They are.
And it's got to be
no
fun
doubt.
To harness that and try and get them to excel even more, isn't it?
It is. I'm telling you, this league is this league's getting better and better and better. I was in this league, I guess the last time I was in this league was like 02. I was the offense coordinator of Middle Tennessee way back in the day. And Middle Tennessee was in the Sun Belt. And then let's fast forward, I guess it was 16 years. I come back as a head coach at South Alabama. The league has changed a lot. A lot of the, you know, people have come and gone since then. But, you know, this league is, I mean, Appy State, who was the best team in our league this past year, I mean, they took Penn State to overtime in Happy Valley.
Troy beat Nebraska last year.
I mean, there's just – I got to tell you, Georgia Southern played Clemson tough. And I think it wound up getting away from them there towards the end. But, But they played Clemson tough. And this league from top to bottom is getting – it's a daggum good league. A lot of good football players and then a well-coached league.
Is that gap closing or is it we're Clemson, we're Nebraska, we're pick a heavyweight, Penn State, we're going to just show up and win? What do you think it
– You know – Yeah, I do think that gap is closing. I tell you what's closed it, and y'all might know a lot more about this than what I do, is that because that guy that invented huddles from there in Nebraska, right? And with the internet and huddle, and there's so many more. You can evaluate kids from everywhere are getting evaluated, and they need somewhere to go, and there's great players in every nook and cranny, and now they're able to get film out and video out, and all you got to do is pull up your computer, and boom, you can, I don't care where, if you're FCS, D2, Group of Five, Power Five, it don't matter. We can all evaluate this kid and then offer him a scholarship, and so I do think that gap is closing.
Steve Campbell's with us, head coach, South Alabama, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, have you had a chance to visit Lincoln before?
I've never been to Lincoln. I've seen them 1,000 times on TV, but never been to Lincoln.
What have you said to your kids about the potential experience? I mean, is that something you've even focused on or not?
Yeah, you know, it's not something that we focused on, but it is something that I brought up to them early, is that, hey, guys, we're going to, you know, one of the, I don't know, I mean, yeah, to me, and just tradition rich, I guess you've got Lincoln, Nebraska, South Bend, Indiana, and maybe another place or two, but Lincoln, Nebraska is right there at the top. You know, a place that's sold out every home game for the last 50 years. They love their football there, and they've won for decades and decades. So, I mean, it is a tremendous, tremendous opportunity, a great challenge, but it's something that we're really looking forward to.
Coach, from an identity standpoint, what are Nebraska fans going to see from your defense, and what are they going to see from your offense? I know you talked about line of scrimmage, but stylistically, your scheme, what can folks expect?
Yeah, you know, We're a four-man front defense that you know we'll do some multiple deals, but you know we count on movement, and you know we'll change up some coverages and things of that nature. Try to be multiple on defense, and same deal offensively. We need to get our playmakers in space and get them the football. Yes, line of scrimmage is you got to win at the line of scrimmage, but the days of 3 yards in a cloud of dust and being able to score enough points to win in 2019, those days are over. We need to spread the ball out and get it to our people in space and play with some tempo. When we're able to play with a little bit of tempo, now that don't mean we go fast all the time, but we need to get in and out and play with a good tempo and spread the ball around and get the ball down the field and stretch the field width and depth and make, you know, Nebraska's got, you know, to me, their roster's changed defensive line-wise as much as anything. I mean, their D-line, they're huge up front. So you're not going to sit there and just mash these guys. They're big and physical up front, so we definitely need to get the ball down the field. They're good at corner. You don't see people throwing a lot of the go balls on them on the outside. So we need to pick our spots, and you know, we need to be efficient. The teams that are successful early in the year, the teams that protect the football, eliminate penalties, and then capitalize down in the red zone. So all those coach speak things that you've heard a gazillion times.
There's a reason. The reason it's
exactly.
It's important.
You know, I watched over the weekend. I watched Villanova and Colgate. I watched Youngstown and Samford. And I watched Miami and Florida, and the exact same things in every game: turnovers, penalties, explosive plays. And then it'll be the same thing in our game. The team that executes the best and does those things the best will be the team that's successful.
Coach, tell me about a minute and a half here, and I'll let you get out. And it's been a pleasure talking with you and learning about your program, South Alabama head coach Steve Campbell. So tell me about your D-line. You got some guys that can come off the edge, get after the quarterback. Do you feel good about your line?
Well, We do. I like our defensive line. We've got, you know, Tyree Turner is a he plays a D tackle for us, very good football player. He's in that, I don't know, in that 305-pound range and an explosive guy, twitchy and a good defensive lineman. At nose guard, we've got two that have played a lot and are good football players. Sean Brown's a 320 and Jordan Beaton's about a 310, 315. Both those guys are good football players and played well for us a year ago at the Shade. At the D end, Jeffrey Watley and Roxel McWilliams. Jeffrey's a 300-pounder and Roxel's probably 265, 270 with good edge rushing, you know, pass rushing. And then we've got some young guys that are going to be really good football players that that will be getting their first taste of it. So I like our D-line.
Coach Campbell with us. South Alabama comes to Lincoln on Saturday. Kickoff ESPN. And the 2019 season is here. Coach, enjoy your trip to Lincoln. Thanks for giving us a few minutes with Hail Varsity. Best to you. And we'll see you on Saturday. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thank you. Y'all take care.
All right. Take care, Coach. Appreciate it. Good for him. You know what? I mean, he's proud of his program. He's a line of scrimmage guy. And he doesn't have any small dudes on that line. My God. Three Bills. Three of the four front down, front four are going to be three Bills. So, hey, it'll be a new and improved South Alabama to kick off at 11. Greg Smith, Mr. Recruiting, up next on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
You don't want to get caught up with Coach McBride and Coach Campbell of South Alabama. We'll get that posted. ESPN On Demand, and of course, the Futuria will get that thing tweeted out, ESPN Lincoln on Twitter. We're at the Graduate on Friday, 4 to 6. Myself, Jay Moore, excited about that. We welcome in recruiting analyst galore. How about Greg Smith at Greg Smith HV on Twitter? Greg, a busy weekend, busy last few days for Coach Held, Coach Frost, and the Nebraska backfield. How you doing?
I'm very well, man. How are you? Ready to get football started? It's back.
Oh, it's back, and it feels awesome, right? I mean, it feels so good to have things to talk about, and you've got South Alabama coming in. You've got the Washington stuff. You've got Juergens. You've got Adrian. You've got the captains. You've got the black shirts, and you've got recruiting. And last week, Nebraska landed Mr. Morrison out of Oklahoma, big-time get. Nebraska wasn't done. You've had a chance to go in-depth with Marvin Scott III. Kind of break him down for us, your interactions with him. HailVarsity.com is where you can read Greg's work. Premium stuff is bundled with the magazine. It's $2.99 a month. Don't whiff. Don't wait any longer for Greg and the folks with the magazine. But what Scott say to you, what stuck out, my friend, about Nebraska getting a guy that's super talented out of a football-rich state that had Georgia Tech after him, had Florida State after him, had Tennessee after him? What a get for Nebraska.
Yeah, it's a great get out of Florida for Nebraska. Scott goes with about 5, I think he told me 5'9", 205.
So Barry Sanders, right? I mean, come on.
Right, yeah, exactly, right? Not quite. Not quite. But, hey, if he turns into that, I'm sure Ryan Hill, Scott Frost, is very excited.
Knew it all along.
Right, yeah, everybody saw that coming. That was just a racist tape when that happened. But he's a really good gift for Nebraska. He's a guy that's compact at 5'9", 205, but he's also got speed. He's a state power lifting champion down in Florida. You know, when I talked to him over the weekend about what it was that drew him to Nebraska, he said the coaching staff. It was another win for the coaching staff and the relationships that they were able to build with him. And this one is kind of multiple coaches again winning the day for Nebraska. His relationship with Ryan Held, obviously good. But he also mentioned Sean Becton as a key factor in his recruitment. As Sean is really big down in the South and Southeast, really respected down in Florida. He's kind of the unofficial mayor down there in that area and region. So he had a great relationship with him. Plus, the offense is definitely running back friendly, as we've seen the last two commits be both running back.
You know, it is. And you look at a guy like Mills and what he can do potentially for Nebraska. You look at Maurice, with when things kind of get cleared up for him, his future, what he was able to do, just showing up and going, showing and going, right? I mean, yep. Washington's super talented. But you've got a couple of other backs here in Morrison and Scott now that, from a style standpoint, is there somebody that Scott reminds you of?
Boy, that's a tough one. I wouldn't say, because it's an interesting blend with him, because on one hand, he's, like I said, a powerful runner that can go between the tackles, but he also has the ability to beat you down the field. So maybe like Brandon Jackson, but a little bit quicker than what B-Jax was. Which, and if he's as productive as Brandon Jackson was, people will definitely take that. Still one of the all-time underrated backs, in my opinion, in Nebraska history. So yeah, I think that would be more of what he's like, but he's a really good balance and complement to Savion Morrison and what he's able to do, because he's more that Maurice Washington type where he can also split out and play some receiver, catch the football out of the backfield as well. Obviously, Morrison is highly productive in his time down in Oklahoma High School as well.
So let's spend a minute here on Nebraska, on Becton, on Coach Held. Just their ability to evaluate, because we're talking about high three-star backs that they keep having really good seasons. They've already started the year off pretty well. I mean, they could blow up to four-star, right? I mean, just from an evaluation standpoint, Nebraska really, really does their homework. I know we've said that before, but it's showing up with Nebraska's kids that they're coaching and working with now in 2019. But there's going to be more of the same, right, as more recruits come in. They do a wonderful job of being and letting their eyes tell them where to go with a player in Scott's case.
Yeah, and running back in particular, and this is, we talk about their evaluation skills all over the board, but running back in particular, Ryan Held said something, I think it was during last season, that kind of caught my eye, where, you know, he said that not every running back actually fits us. He's like, it's not necessarily that we have to go out and recruit the big five-star running back or you know, high four-star running back. That guy just needs to have the skill set to fit within our offense. And clearly, with the guys that they've brought into this football team, they've been able to identify that. Like, I don't have any qualms about saying that they're able to really identify running back talent and get those guys to Lincoln. They do a fantastic job at that.
Greg Smith's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter is where you follow Greg, and the premium content along with the magazine, real easy to subscribe. 855-3-HUSKER, HailVarsity.com/subscribe, $2.99 a month. That is phenomenal for incredible premium content. Greg, what's ahead here for week one for Nebraska? Any hints or any firm visitors for the 11 o'clock kick against South Bama?
No, at this point, I don't have any firm visitors for you. We'll get later in the week, we'll kind of figure it out. I don't think that it's going to be possible to have official visitors this weekend, which is okay. If you have regional unofficial visitors coming in, especially guys that can then maybe come back later on official visits, if that's the case, that would be perfectly fine. But they've got a couple of big ones coming up. That Northern Illinois game first, because it'll be a night game, and then obviously Ohio State, which we've talked about a bunch. But I suspect there'll be some high-profile unofficial visitors, maybe even some regional 2021 kids that'll be in, because they've got a strategy of getting those kids here early and often for unofficial visits, and it's worked in the past with guys like Huttmacher and Corcoran. That's how Nebraska was able to get so far out ahead with those guys.
Well, Greg, we're going to for sure see you Thursday. We'll be broadcasting live at Seacrest ahead of Burke and Southeast, and I know you'll be checking out all the D1 prospects at Seacrest Field. Real quick for Saturday, bud, what are you expecting to see? Offense and defense from Nebraska, got about a minute.
Yeah, I'm expecting to see both sides of the football come out firing on all cylinders. I think that Nebraska defense for me will be the key. But I think that people are expecting to see fireworks from the offense, and I wouldn't be surprised if the defense doesn't come out and at least attempt to steal the show out there, even though there'll be so plenty of fun to be had from the offense too. But I think Nebraska will play really well this weekend, and I feel like they're pretty locked in.
What's your go-to for the tailgate, my friend? What are you putting on that grill?
Saturday morning? Oh, man, that's a good question. Maybe brats. Brats could be just a quick, easy kind of thing for a Saturday morning first game. You want to do too much because you'll have the jitters and all the excitement. So maybe just brats.
Breakfast brats with Greg in the rail yard. I think it's a winner. Can we get
can we get
a smoker and a grill down there? Can we get something happening?
I hope so. Maybe we need to look into this.
A little bit. Greg's Brats. There we go. Breakfast Brats with Mr. Greg, recruiting analyst for Hale Varsity. At Greg Smith HV is where you follow Greg on Twitter. Greg, appreciate you much, man. We'll talk later in the week. Thanks for the time today.
Yeah, man. Have a good week, guys.
All right. There he is, Greg Smith. We'll wind down a Monday game week. Hale Varsity continues.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Monday, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, give us a follow on Twitter. Chris Schmidt at Schmidt_radio, Colton Stone at @2birds1stone. And fire off some emails, chris@halevarsity.com if you want. I've got a tweet that we went to get to a little earlier. We had Brian call in hour one. and John had some choice words for Brian. I'm thinking there's a little Chiefs v. Donkey issue going on there with Brian not being a Mahomes guy. And clearly, if you cheer for Denver, you're not a Mahomes guy. But you had plenty of praise being thrown out for Adrian by Frost. And he even kind of invoked what some of the throws Adrian Martinez is making is something you only see in the Chiefs offense. So there's that. We need like four more hours today for the show. Great stuff on the black shirts from Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Love the thoughts from Searles on the offensive line. Jeremiah Searles was with us in the first hour. And his take on the Andrew Luck situation, we spent probably quite a bit of time on that because it's been the hot national story with where you come down on Luck, kind of for or against, or whether or not you understand him. Really enjoyed Coach Campbell from South Alabama. And Greg Smith knocked it out with Coach, with Nebraska's recruiting. And Mr. Scott was a big-time get over the weekend. So that was major for Nebraska. Tomorrow's show, we are loaded up. It is a Mitch Sherman Tuesday. It is a Big Ten buffet time with Mr. Rick Pizzo of the Big Ten Network. And then how about our old buddy Cam Taylor, black shirt Cam Taylor, cornerback Cam Taylor, our one-on-one with the Husker defensive back. And he is playing a home state school for a second straight year. So we'll hear from Cam Taylor tomorrow on Hale Varsity Radio. Always welcome to join us at 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So I'm thinking here that you're going to have a undeterred, fired up, not scared, let it all hang out, South Alabama team roll in, and they're going to try and pin their ears back and go after Adrian. You flip it around, you've got some prospects on the defensive line that are going to get after Nebraska's offensive line. Will it work? Will it be successful? Not if you ask Vegas at 36.5. But I like this team coming in. Got to get some pep going at 11 a.m. And brats and eggs and a red beer.
There you go.
In the morning.
See, you know, we can all
can
sit
I get?
Here.
Are you working Saturday morning?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you are. But I'll have as we're down in the rail yard. My point is, stop by and see us when you hustle on down, Colton.
All right, everyone wants to say, you know, it's South Alabama and everything, but after hearing 300 like four times,
yeah.
I mean,
fast athletic dudes.
It's going to matter. It doesn't matter if it's South Alabama or Alabama. Right. 300 pounds, 300 pounds.
305 at 6'4". Great feet. I can get to the 305 part. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thanks.